April the 18th and 19th. We start with supper on the 18th. That's Monday night, 5:30. And then we'll have preaching that night. And then on Tuesday, it's all day preaching. Start in the morning, preach all the way up till noon, and then have catfish dinner. And then after a catfish and that and good time, well, may as well be, but anyway. Then we'll come back and preach some more, and then supper at 5:30, and then preaching again on Tuesday night, and that's it. That's how it works. And we would ask you to come on down and be with us at the Elliott Baptist Church. We would love to have you to come on down. It'd be a lot of fun. And we'll put you up. If you can put up with us, we'll put you up and put you at the Jameson Inn. And you can get with Miss Denise, get some email addresses and that, or see me. And we want you to be with us. We would enjoy that. We enjoy the Bible conference just like we enjoy the Institute here. We've been privileged to be here on several occasions, and we always just thank the Lord for His goodness. We are going to have to head back after lunch today because of some needs there, death in the church family, a couple of our members, their sister passed away. And then we have a man who's going to have surgery tomorrow in Memphis. As Brother Doug knows, they closed the big hospital downtown, the big Baptist downtown. And so they've shifted everything, and they're having surgery Monday through Saturday now. And it's over at Baptist East, and so I'll be on your end of town tomorrow. But that's how that works out. That's just how that works out. So we appreciate everything. We really, really do. Appreciate all the messages, and of course, does good for preachers to hear preaching. Amen? Preachers need preaching. They really, really do. They need preaching. I was talking to Brother Cecil about a gun that he is would like to have, looking for a certain gun, and it reminded me about something. Boudreaux advertised his gun in the newspaper. He put that gun in the newspaper. He said, "Best gun ever been made." Man drove all the way down from Baton Rouge, came down to look at that gun, and he said, "What makes this gun so special?" He said, "Well, man, it just is a great gun. I mean, you shoot something, it's dead." And before the man bought it, he said, "Now, I want to test this here gun." Boudreaux said, "Well, I'm going to shoot it first." He said, "All right." So Boudreaux got the bullet out. He took and put salt all over that bullet. Just put salt all over it, stuck it in there. The man said, "What do you mean by putting salt all over that bullet like that?" He said, "Look, this gun shoots so far, you've got to put salt on that bullet to preserve that meat until you can get over there to it. That's how far this gun will shoot." That's some kind of gun, isn't it? And that's some kind of lie that Boudreaux done told. He's bad about that. Boudreaux sent me this email. Now, sometime I'll get this email. And this email come from Boudreaux, and it's about his friend Broussard. Now, of course, Broussard kind of mild-mannered. He's a mild-mannered type of fella. And he's always being bossed around by Ms. Broussard, always telling him what to do, where to go, all that kind of stuff. So Broussard went to the psychiatrist. And he said, "Look, I'm a timid little man." And he said, "I'm tired of being bossed around." So the psychiatrist gave him a book to read on assertiveness. Well, Broussard couldn't even read that, you know, but he did get on through there, and he looked in that book and found out about that. And after he read that book, he got to the house and he told his wife, Eleanor. He said, "Eleanor, from now on, I am the boss. I am the man who's bees in charge, and you can look out for that." He pointed his finger at her. "I'm the man of the house. My word has done become the law around this house. And I want you to prepare me a gourmet meal. I want some of that gumbo. I want soft shell crab. I want you to fix me some of that crawfish etouffee. And then I want some of that great dessert, that good bread pudding with that raisin in it. And I want that tonight. You hear me? She didn't say nothing. Not a thing. Then he said, after supper time, after I done ate that supper, you're going to draw me a bath. If y'all don't know what drawing a bath is, it ain't drawing a bathtub either. But you're going to get my bath ready. You're going to draw me a bath so I can done relax in that bath water. And when I'm finished with my bath, you guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair? She said, that ain't no problem. The Undertaker. That's who's going to dress you and comb your hair. I've told you that. So I got that email. I appreciate that. I'm telling you right now, Clarissa. Oh, my. Take your Bibles and turn with us to James chapter 4, beginning at verse number 13. The book of James chapter 4 and verse number 13. And the subject this morning, don't leave God out. Don't leave God out. James chapter 4, verse number 13, where the Scripture says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, look at verse number 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then does what? Then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say, for that ye ought to say, this is what you ought to say. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. The emphasis of our liberal, humanistic society today is to leave God out. The emphasis today is to throw Him out. The emphasis today is to forget about God, leave Him completely out of the mix of things. And that ought not to be so. And when you study this and see what James is talking about, he's talking about some folk who had been scattered in the diaspora. In other words, the scattering of the Jews. These were businessmen. These were traders. These were folks who were out there in the business community. And they were leaving God out of their plans. And if you and I are not careful, we will run ahead of God. And we will leave God out as well. And we must be careful that we do not do that. And there are just a couple of things that I really want us to look at this morning. Some things that really stand out in this passage. Number one, do not leave God out of your plans. Always include God in your plans. Always trust in the Lord. Always look to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Now, He can't direct your path if you're not trusting Him. So you trust in the Lord. And then secondly, always say, if it is the Lord's will, I will do this or do that. Those are simple things, are they not? Always trust the Lord. Never leave Him out of your plans. And always say, if the Lord is willing. You know, it's foolish to leave God out. It is foolish to leave God out of your plans. And to forget God makes you a fool. Now, I didn't say that, but God says that. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, no God, no God, no God. So they think they're smart, thinking themselves to be wise. They became fools. Think they're wise. Think they're smart. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Dear friends, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, James chapter 4, verse 13 says this, go to now, ye that say, today Or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, these people had been agricultural folks. But then when they were scattered by persecution, they went into banking, they went into trade, they did a lot of other things. And the Jews have continued in that vein today. I'm not wearing it today, but I have a tie that was given to me by a Jew who sells ties. Not only does he sell them, he owns the company that makes them. But he still goes out and visits all the different stores every so often that carry his particular ties. And I met him, and he was talking about what he did, and he had a certain tie on. I said, I really like that tie. He said, I'll send you one. And he sent me one. Beautiful tie. Really nice. And I was talking to the lady at the shop there, and I said, does he do pretty well? She says, he's a millionaire. You know, he sells ties. They're blessed in that, are they not? But dear friends, you can be blessed and still forget God. And that's what this is talking about. Don't forget God. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go and do this or do that. And then they would stay there a year. They'd set up a business. And those colonies wanted Jews to come to them because they knew they were good for business. They were good for trade. And so James is reminding them, listen, don't forget God. Don't leave Him out of your plans. Don't do that. It is not wrong to plan ahead. But it's wrong to plan ahead without God. And that's the bottom line of this. Do not plan ahead without God. Think of the words in this verse here. Think of this. Go to now, ye that say, today. You can either have today with God or today without God. Or tomorrow. Today with God or today with without God. Tomorrow with God, tomorrow without God. We will go into such a city. Listen, I want to go with God, not without God. Amen? And continue there a year, wherever I'm at. If it's a year, if it's a week, I want God there. Amen? Whether I'm buying or selling and possibly getting gain as they were, I want God there. Do not leave God out. And that's really the undercurrent here. That's the bottom line. That's what it's talking about. Do not leave God out. We ought to seek God and His counsel concerning everything we do. Where we're going, what we're doing, what we're selling, what we're buying, we need to seek the face of God. We need to pray about it. We ought to pray about where to go to school, young people. Pray about that. I believe it's important to pray about who you're going to marry. Lord, give me wisdom. I know there's somebody for me. Help me to know. Help me to see. Help me to be sensitive. Don't let me run ahead of you. Amen? So very, very, very important. My wife and I married out of the will of God. In other words, in His will, but it was because of His will. Let's say that. Because of His will, we married. And our love has grown through the years, but we did not marry because of this overwhelming love for each other. Because that wasn't there. She didn't want to marry a preacher. And had said she wouldn't. And I was one. And is one. But God made it plain to her, this is my will. This is what you're to do. And He made it plain to me that this is my will. And so we need to pray about the will of God. We should pray about a job. And what job it is. Should I take this job? Is this a job for me? Will this job cause me to have to compromise? Will this job be in a place where my children will go to a good school? What type church will be there for my family? I know some folks right now, they're making big money, but they're in an area where there is no Bible believing, preaching Baptist church. And matter of fact, there's not a good any kind of church there. But they're there for the money. And they're miserable. A true believer wants to be in a fellowship where the Bible is preached. Amen? So, you need to say, God lead me. God direct me. God show me where you would have me to be. And we should acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Everything, no matter what that is. We should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then what will happen? All these things will be added. We're not to in the next verse tells us to take no thought for tomorrow. Now that doesn't mean don't plan ahead. That doesn't mean be careless. That just means trust God. Amen? Trust God. Look to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Then, in James 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanishes away. You businessmen, you traders, you folks that are out there, you say you're making plans a year ahead and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And you're making plans, but not with me, and so that's dangerous, amen? That is dangerous to do that. We don't know what's in store for tomorrow. The plans that we make could be completely shattered in a moment's time. We realize that. We see that. So we need to be sure that each day is a day lived for God. Would you say that life is uncertain? You know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor. I have a tea kettle that I put on that stove at home. And I love to hear that kettle. I could put my cup in the microwave and did that for years, but I like to hear that tea kettle. And I'll put the fire up under that thing and boy, it'll boil. And when it gets boiling good, it'll begin to whistle and a vapor will come up. And as long as the fire's on, the vapor's there. But life is but a vapor. When I cut the fire off, the vapor disappears. And one day the fire's going to be cut off. And life will be over as you know it now. And you will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And so, with life being uncertain, we need to trust in Christ. If you're not saved, you need to trust in Christ who died for our sins, was buried, who rose again. You need to trust in Him because life is going to come to an end one day. And eternity will be spent in heaven or in hell. I like the old gospel song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Do you like that? I don't know if I can hit the key or not, but I'm going to try. And if I do, I want y'all to sing with me. I don't want to sing by myself, okay? Will y'all sing with me? Will you try? I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine. For its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside Him. For He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I'm thankful I can say I know who holds my hand. We don't know about tomorrow, and because we do not know about tomorrow, we need to redeem the time. Amen? We need to use it rightly. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't know about tomorrow, and since I don't, I'd better redeem what time I've got. Amen? You ladies use coupons? Save on that stuff at the store? What do you do with that coupon? You redeem it. You cash it in. You use it. We need to cash in on the time. Amen? We need to use it for the Lord because the days are evil. We need to take every opportunity to let our light shine. Every opportunity to be the salt of the earth. Every opportunity to spread the gospel. Every opportunity to support missions at home and abroad. I love missions. I love missionaries. I wanted to be a missionary. God would not let me do that. He just would not open that door for me, did not allow me to do that. He said, I want you to be a pastor. That's what I want you to do. But I love missionaries and I love missions. And friends, we need to redeem the time. I keep pushing our folks to let's just give more to missions. Let's just give more to missions. Let's do more for missions. Because I believe that the missionary work is the heartbeat of a Baptist church. I'm a missionary Baptist. Don't have to be in the ABA to be a missionary Baptist. Amen? You can be a missionary Baptist. Hey, anyway, independent missionary Baptist. Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. There are those who know not the Lord. And Paul said, I speak this to your shame. We're to walk in wisdom. We're to walk circumspectly. I love that old word, circumspectly. You know what that word circumspectly means? Simply put, it means walk carefully. You better be careful where you step, what you do, where you go. There are those watching you. You need to walk in wisdom. Amen? Walk in wisdom. Over in Vietnam, you watched your step. You watched where you were going because there were traps there and you had to be careful that you didn't step on something that would go up through your boot and poison you. Punji sticks, they call them. And that's how you and I have to be careful where we walk, where we go, what we do, so we'll not be poisoned by the things of the world. Friends, life is short. That's what James is saying. James is telling us that life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time. And because life is short, we need to live it for Jesus. Live it for the Lord. That's what I need to do. That's what you need to do. Hans Christian Andersen. I love the books that he's written and you know the stories. Hans Christian Andersen wrote, life is a fairy tale written by God's finger. Robert Browning wrote, life is probation and the earth is not the goal but the starting point. And this isn't the end. Thomas Carlyle wrote, life is a little gleam of time between two eternities. Eternity past and eternity future. Life is just a little gleam in between. And you know something, friends? Time doesn't stop for anybody. It does not stop for anyone at all. You can't put time in a bottle. Amen? You can't do it. Time's marching on. Right now, time's marching on. Just keeps going. Keeps moving. Keeps going. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't boast. And that's what James is saying in James chapter 4. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You are proud and boastful of what you're going to do and what you're going to make and what you're going to invest. Don't. And listen, I believe you ought to be a good steward. You better make plans for the future. I think that's good. I don't think that's wrong. I think that's good. But you're not to live for those things. I tell our folks all the time, when I get ready to say it, they know it. They can hear it coming out of my mouth. It's not wrong for you to have nice things. It's wrong for nice things to have you. And that's the problem. A lot of folks have let things have them. How sad. Job 7:9 compares life to a cloud that vanisheth away. As a cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so is he that goeth down to the grave. I mean, just like a cloud, and then we're gone. Boy, hasn't some of you who are a little older, and I'm getting a little older, hasn't life just flown by? I'm telling you, life has flown by. You look back, and boy, it just seems like yesterday. I mean, 35 years goes by pretty quick, doesn't it? It does. Life moves on. Time goes on. And friends, death is certain. There's no doubt. No doubt about that. And no amount of money, and no amount of beauty, and no amount of education, and no amount of clout can keep you from death. And I think they're wasting their time keeping old Ted Williams frozen. Now, one of these days, he's going to come to life, but I'm going to tell you something, friends. It won't be because of what some scientist does. Amen? I guarantee you, everybody's going to die. Howard Hughes died. In a sense, he was dead before he died. You know, his life was over. How sad, because he wasn't living for the Lord. So we need to live for Jesus. I think about the rich fool. Do you think about him sometimes? He didn't think about God. Don't leave God out. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. It tells us about this rich fool. Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. Notice with me. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, Jesus is speaking, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, and I want you to notice, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Notice that, for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You're not taking it with you. You're not going to do that. And he had left God out. Everything was I and my. Nothing there for God. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's better to be rich toward God than to be rich in this world. Amen? The uncertainty of life is not a cause of fear, nor is it a cause of inaction, but it's a reason for realizing that we need to depend on God all the time. As a child of God, I don't fear death. I don't want to go today. Everybody wants to get to heaven. Nobody wants to die. I'm glad God puts that in us. Amen. We want to live. We want to live. James chapter 4, verse number 15 tells us to always seek the will of God. We know life is short. We know that we need to include God in our plans. And then we find here, always seek and live in God's will. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord will. We need to depend on God, rest in the will of God, trust in the will of God. I'm going to go over some scriptures quickly. You won't have to turn there, but I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said. He lived within the will of God. 1 Corinthians 4:19 says, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. I'm coming shortly. In other words, in a little while. If the Lord will. And then in 1 Corinthians 16:7, he says, "For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a little while with you, if the Lord permit." Same thing. If the Lord is willing. And writing to the Corinthians, Paul said in Acts 18:21, "I will return again unto you if the Lord will." So we always ought to say, if the Lord is willing, I will do this or that. And by doing so, we're trusting in the sovereignty of God. We're trusting ourselves unto the Lord, realizing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I believe it's wrong to kick the door in when God has shut it and does not expect you to open it. But too often we're kicking the door down when God did not want us in that position. Now listen, there are some things about God's will that you can know. "Oh, preacher, I want to know the will of God. What is God's will for my life?" I'll just give you a few. There are a lot of them you can know, but let me just give you a few of them. You can know this. It is God's will for us to give our lives as a living sacrifice unto God. Romans 12:1-2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice." What is that? That's your reasonable service. Amen? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And we do so by the mercies of God, that ye may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect." That's right, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can always remember that if I'll just think about the gap theory. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't believe in the gap theory, but I can remember that. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm not going to get into that, but I don't believe in the gap theory. Alright? But you notice what it says there. "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is His will? His will is for you to live for Him. Amen? So you don't have to worry about that. That's a good one. And then, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. The Bible says it is God's will that you stay morally pure and avoid immorality. The Bible says that. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." That's the will of God. That is God's will, that you stay pure. And that talks about extramarital and premarital. Amen? We're to be pure. And then I believe this, it's the will of God that His people rejoice and they pray and they thank Him for all. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying." That's all in the will of God. Amen. Do y'all remember the chorus? Y'all remember the chorus with this? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." Could we sing it? We may as well sing this morning. Amen. All right. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus concerning you." Rejoice evermore. "Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore, for this is the will of God. In Christ Jesus
concerning you. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
All right, there's more to that, but it is the will of God that we rejoice, and that we give thanks, and that we pray, and that we despise not the preaching of the Word, nor quench the Spirit. So very, very important. And then let me just give you one more. John chapter 6, verse 39. John 6, 39. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. John 6, verse number 39. And I love this, and I rest in this. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I am eternally secure, because that's the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, friends, the next couple of verses there in James tells us we ought not be boastful. We ought not say what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm planning, this is my way, and all of that. Friends, we know what we've studied today. We know that we need to trust God daily. We need to seek His will in everything. Amen? And not to be saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. We're to say, if the Lord wills, I will do that. Now you know, because James has made it plain. He has put it before our eyes that we're to trust God every day. Now, first of all, trust Him as Savior. And then trust Him as you walk with Him. And that brings us to that verse in James, in verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we know what God's will is, you take it in context. If you know what God's will is and you don't do it, then you're in sin. God bless you.